of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. We are recording on the 17th of November. Is this exactly a week before our next match, I believe? The 23rd is our next match. So, yeah, that's Saturday.
Saturday.
6 days away, where we will play LAFC. And I am Aaron Lingley. As always, I'm joined by your Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins, and your Alliance Council Treasurer, Nicholas Biella.
Secretary.
What's going on, gentlemen? Why am I always fucking that up? I don't know. Maybe I think you should be Treasurer. That's what I'm voting for next time.
You got no money. Yeah. We do. I wrote the provisions such that if we were to have money, we may elect a treasurer, but we don't shall, we may.
Yeah.
Anyway, my bad.
But I am treasurer for ECSFC, so all of the soccer clubs under the ECS umbrella. So maybe that's where you're getting a little confused.
Sure, let's give me that excuse.
Yeah.
But speaking of ECS stuff, let's cheers to fun week. We just had ECS Pub League today, and we are three Pub Leaguers.
Mm-hmm. This is true. And someone scored their first Pub League goal today.
Well, it was a penalty, but yes, I did.
Did the ball go in the back of the net?
It went in the back of the net, and I took off my jersey and swung it around in the face of the other team. And I did not get a yellow card because it was fun week.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Right. Cheers. You got your liquid death. What are you drinking? Oh, Dr. Pepper.
I am out of alcohol, or out of beer, I should say.
Say jaw dropped. I am drinking Voodoo Ranger.
I still have all that if I want to go alcohol. But
Juicy Haze.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Congratulations. Cheers. Yeah, congratulations, Cameron, on your first Pub League goal. Okay. Fun week is always a good time to get off the schneid. And you can celebrate with a lot of fun. And like you said, not get a yellow because everyone gets it. You know,
I don't usually get a chance to score goals because I'm mainly a defender, but I had one day when it was pouring rain that I got to play forward and I didn't have the service I needed to score then. So this was a good chance. And I thought about all the goalkeeper game theory that you and I discussed with Andrew Thomas.
That was a hell of a cool conversation.
Yeah. And so, I don't know if it had anything to do with scoring the goal, but I definitely thought about it and worked it into when I set the ball down.
That's good times. We got to appreciate it while I was grilling up some hot dogs and hamburgers for all the Pub Leaguers. So we were watching from the sidelines.
And I'm remiss that I didn't record it, even though I was standing right next to the barbecue line watching. So I'm sorry. It did happen. We just don't have proof.
There's witnesses.
But by the way, you just snuck in like, oh, you're just hanging out casually talking to Andrew Thomas, but this is conversations that I'm not even privy to, right? Senior NDAs.
Yeah.
This one was more of a casual chat.
But
in
I
this
mean,
particular case,
he was reassured that we had signed NDAs because he revealed some insider baseball and stuff we can't repeat.
But one of the things that was there was a very lengthy conversation about the art of penalty kicks and what goes through a professional's mind, especially considering on Alliance Council, there are at least six people who have played goalkeeper.
Yeah.
A lot of us Pub Leaguers, a lot of Pub League goalies,
one ECS,
FC goalie.
And I don't know where Paul played goalie, but six goalies.
Yeah. So good times. If you want to play goalie and you want to play in Pub League, you should be on Alliance Council.
Yeah, it's the place to be, and goalies are always needed too.
Indubitably. You're taking your crown off now?
I am taking the crown off.
Yeah, I got to take my pink hat off. No one knows what we're talking about, but this is our attire for fun week.
We did. We held a super soft birthday party because both Aaron and myself were born 2 days apart. And we threw a super soft birthday for our team, which is a Letterkenny-based theme. We are the Super Soft FC. So we thought Fun Week would be an appropriate time. So we're both wearing our birthday girl sashes. I had a pretty crown on. You had a hot pink cowboy hat. And then just had a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it. That was my first Fun Week.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there last year.
I usually have made the Fun Week and the tournament week, since they don't count towards the standings or anything. The 1 week I give back to Randy and the kids. Because she takes half the day to do everything, and now with two kids, it's twice as hard. So, but I had to go this week because it was a birthday.
You know, it was a good excuse
for that too.
And I think it's important to note that it also was baby Biela's birthday.
That's right, Roma. Roma turned 5 this week, and so we had a fun birthday party. Gracie was there.
Not at the birthday party I was at. We didn't let any Langleys come to that.
We did go out to dinner the night of her birthday. But you didn't get to jump on a trampoline, Cameron. So,
which is probably good. I imagine my fragile bones would have crumbled to pieces when, you know, that thing where you're like jumping and someone jumps at the same time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was actually doing that to Roma and, or no, not even Roma. I was doing it to Gracie and one of our other Pub Leaguers kids. They were standing up on the trampoline and they were like, knock us over. So I jump up and down and try and make them wobble. They seem to have a good time with that. So, you know,
you were able to accomplish that, right?
Yeah.
Knock them over. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause when I was
imagining them flying across.
What was happening was when I was bouncing after the third or fourth bounce and they still weren't, you know, falling over, I just kicked them, you know, just hunted them across the room.
That's like today at Pub League, three boys, little boys out there that were probably around 6, I would say. I think 2 are brothers and 1 is a cousin, or it could be 2. Yeah. But I had a wide open shot on goal where I would have scored from the run of play, but the little kid ran in front of me. And so his head would have been like directly in the line with the goal. So I did not kick the goal.
I was expecting a,
because I was about to give that kid a concussion. I even had my leg cocked back ready to kick. And then he ran in front. And I was like, oh, nope.
Friendly fire. I mean, you know what? You're a good man.
Sometimes you got to learn your lesson, though. You run across a field that's active.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were playing. They were on the field playing.
Sometimes you just need to kick at a kid.
Yeah. Totally something that we should do.
This sounds like a Houston Dynamo game theory.
Yeah, right.
Hey, way to bring it back. We have advanced past them. We've already talked about. Did we record after that match?
Yeah.
We recorded after them, but before
we knew
the results of game 3s.
Yes.
So what do we got lined up, Cameron?
LAFC on November 23rd at LA, since LAFC beat Vancouver pretty soundly in the end. On a wild, as we talked about, playoff weekend, which puts it in line with Miami being knocked out, that we could end up having Atlanta and Garth Lagerwey travel to Seattle for the MLS Cup Championship.
I'd be stoked for that. Both the matchup and the storylines, how we're intertwined in so many kind of ways.
I think the first year he left, we had that opportunity as well, but neither of us advanced that far. Since we saw him on TV, I emailed him and congratulated him and talked to him about some business stuff. And he responded. It was pretty cool. So shout out to Garth, if you're listening. You the man.
You know,
you preach the gospel of Garth, so he'll respond back to his acolytes.
Yeah. Is it official that Chris Henderson is joining him in Atlanta?
I've not seen anything making that official. Their season isn't even over, so I would have doubted it, but that would be nice. Or you could just hire me. I'll go be a scout for them. I'll be like, sign Messi.
I mean, that makes sense.
I have some scuttlebutt question for y'all before we get into, I guess everyone we got was Sounders related, but why? I get people rooting against Miami, the team, because they're so stacked. It's like rooting against, you know, the Yankees or the Dodgers, stuff like that. But why do you think people relish in Messi himself losing? It's really strange to me the way that people are, yes, Messi's out. Yeah. And I don't mind Miami losing, but that was, that's a whole sum of a whole team where they brought in a ton of players. Like Messi himself, I wish nothing but success because I definitely choose him over Ronaldo in the GOAT conversation.
Well, you just touched up on part of it. I mean, it depends on where the angst is coming from. If it's coming from fellow MLS fans,
yeah.
If it's coming from global, a part of it's going to be the Ronaldos or fans of other top players. You know, some people will be like, oh, my player didn't win player of the year because Messi did. And there's going to be, you know, the angst of that. I tend to agree with you. Messi as a person, I don't think anything ill of him. He's very, very good. I'm thrilled I've gotten to see him perform live. But he's kind of a, wow, he's great. I acknowledge him as that. But I'm kind of indifferent about him, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel the same way. I'm indifferent. I would my assumptions would be that there is a sense of a little bit of fabrication or not scripting. That's too harsh because I don't think the MLS and how they've been constructed as a club and his part of it is scripted, but it's certainly, I feel like some followers of MLS maybe just like to see that project fail versus something that's a little bit more organic. And they just group him into that. But I think that's, I don't know really why people want to see him lose other than what you just said, Nick. So,
I mean, I feel also like when he was 11, he was diagnosed with growth hormone deficiency, which stunts your growth and prevents development and, going into puberty and stuff like that. So my understanding is it literally most of the time, it includes having a micropenis. So here's a guy that overcame a micropenis to become the greatest player in the world.
How do you know he overcame it? Oh, I see what you mean.
I mean, he took hormones, so I'm assuming he overcame it.
God damn it.
I don't know, I guess, but I feel like...
I did not think this was going to go to Messi's mini-year.
He's the American
part. I knew exactly where this was going, and I'm powerless to stop it.
I'm actually upset with myself that I didn't know that, I know Cameron, and I'm like, this is going to go somewhere that's a little shocking. Yeah, all right, so Messi's penis.
Yeah, I think it just surprised me at the amount of people that are excited that he is losing. I'm happy that they're out because it helps the Sounders. That's the main reason I was rooting against them.
That's pretty much my only reason as well. Unless we were able to host them, I would like to host them. I think that would be a fun matchup. To obviously have the opportunity more reasonably to see Messi, yes, but also Suarez and a good club at CenturyLink. Wow, CenturyLink, dated myself.
Yeah. Back at Seahawks Stadium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's an interesting idea. MLS is kind of crazy right now because more than half, 8/10 of the league is no longer involved. And we can talk in a second about, you said you have rankings on
MLS where they stand. Has an article about where they rank them.
But Kevin De Bruyne is now being linked to San Diego FC, the expansion team that's coming this year. And, Manchester City player who was a Chelsea player. He only played 3 games and then got loaned away to Werder Bremen. But he may be coming over. And, of course, season's not even over, but LAFC is already being linked to other new players. So we have lots of news.
I mean, take that with a grain of salt, because that's just MLS is going to MLS, where people get linked. That's just kind of how it works, you know.
And Antoine Griezmann is ready to leave Atletico, so they're talking about him coming. But it's a crazy time. But that means there is also only four teams in each conference left.
Yeah, we're down to eight.
So is it MLS or ESPN? Who did these rankings?
I'm on MajorLeagueSoccer.com.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go through just the rank. I don't think they split this up. It doesn't look like they do between conferences. It's just the bucket of eight.
Yep. I see.
So they put Atlanta United at numero ocho.
That feels right to me.
Yeah, they were a wild card team.
I'll try to grab at least a sentence from each one just to kind of encompass their justification. Atlanta are the definition of just happy to be here. Number seven, New York Red Bulls.
Pretty impressive beatdown of the Columbus Crew in penalties there.
I was going to say, they say the Red Bulls pulled off a huge upset in round one, sweeping defending MLS Cup champions Columbus Crew.
And honestly, the Crew, they had a hell of a year. I'm actually surprised to see them go out so early, more surprised than Miami. I think that was frankly the bigger upset to me.
They called it the biggest upset in MLS history, because no 9 seed has ever beaten a 1 seed.
Has there ever been a 9 seed?
The last couple of years, but no bottom seed has ever beaten the top seed.
You're talking about the Miami Atlanta?
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the time when they were calling the Columbus one the biggest upset, that was before Atlanta went out.
Right.
But I do think that the Columbus one was more impressive, because even though Atlanta was a 9 and a 1, Miami showed their problems defensively all season long. Columbus was top to bottom a well-rounded team.
Yeah, they were solid. They're like the Detroit Lions.
And they were taking on, they're making it to Champions League finals. They're making it to, they're every competition they're in. They were so good. Yeah.
Their coach, nothing against Brian Schmetzer. He obviously has longevity wise proven that he is an excellent coach and is now the oldest coach in the MLS, but
no, not anymore.
Oh, Bruce Arena just got hired in San Jose, huh?
That's right. Yep.
So not anymore, but Wilfred Nancy is incredible as a coach and changing the way the game is played in America in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's not playing right now because they are not ranked. So I'm moving on. Number six, Minnesota United.
It bothers me that first line there. Read that first line.
We could have probably just called it a three-way tie between Atlanta, New York, and Minnesota.
I mean, and I'm not saying it bothers me because it doesn't have a serial comma, which it should. But it bothers me because if you think that, you have not watched Minnesota down the stretch. They are the most difficult defensive team in the MLS right now, even more so than us.
I mean, St. Clair is a very good goalie when he's on.
And they've completely changed how they play. They're playing from the back, moving forward. Their new coach has changed the way that they run that team, and it's made a difference. He's playing hot players, no longer playing favorites, and isn't willing to sit players. So, I mean, he is willing to sit players. He's not afraid to. So I'm surprised they're so low.
Well, do you think that's more a testament of the teams that are remaining above them?
I think it's probably biased towards seeding.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they would be higher than who I'm about to say here at number five, New York City FC. Expectations are different for NYCFC, are they? Number four, your Seattle Sounders. It's Seattle. Even when they aren't at their best, there is an expectation that they can win a title.
It's crazy to me that they're four. I think we should be three.
I don't know. I think part of that is that Orlando maybe has an easier path to MLS Cup on the Eastern side. That makes it.
That's true.
And I think that's why their betting odds are a little better. How crazy would that be, though? Which would you rather see? Would you rather see
Nico
Atlanta? See, that's exactly where I was going. Would you rather see Garth versus Seattle or Nico versus Seattle?
I think, oh, I know Cameron's answer.
I would like both, but yeah, I mean, Garth, obviously.
You want to go out?
I mean, yeah, that's the question.
I'm invited, by the way.
Yeah.
Which would sting less? Garth beating us or Nico beating us? If we were to lose.
I don't think either would. I would be happy for both.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I would. If I had to choose, it would be Garth.
Yeah. Nico, I mean, Nico, he's been an interesting player. He actually played, I think, the full 90 in that last game, but he had missed a penalty in that first penalty shootout.
Yeah.
So he...
So did half of the teams.
That's true. You know, yeah, right. I mean, I think I'm surprised because who the top three are here.
Well, number three is LA Galaxy. Been a decade since the last title, and so far the Galaxy,
it's very interesting to see them at number three.
Really? You're saying they'd be higher? Yeah,
I would put them above one. I would put them above LAFC.
Switch LA's and Orlando as spoiler alert in the middle here at number two. Inter Miami, Columbus Crew, and FC Cincinnati are all out. Orlando City are the only top four seed remaining in the East.
Yeah, to me, it would be LA. I mean, LA Galaxy, LAFC, Seattle, Minnesota, then Orlando, then New York, then New York.
Oh, you're climbing back up to eight. Okay.
Then Atlanta.
Whoa. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would put I think every single West team could beat every one of these East teams.
I think you are correct. I do think the MLS Cup goes through the West. Frankly, I think MLS Cup comes through the winner of the next Sounders LAFC game.
Oh, really?
Okay. I do.
Interesting.
And the main reason on that is experience. You know, both of those teams have experience being there. Everyone else would have to be proving it. That's kind of where I'm coming from on that.
Okay. There was an article that came out at the beginning of the playoffs on MLS soccer.com that said bandwagon fan guide, who to root for in the Audi 2024 MLS Cup playoffs. And it gives like a list of reasons. And for the Sounders, it says for fans of like Miami is the New York Yankees, Alabama football,
okay,
Boston Celtics, like, you know,
they're correlating other.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Sounders, we go down here, for fans of classical music, responsible investments, retirement planning, going the speed limit, bureaucracy at large.
Frasier Crane, basically.
Yes.
Maybe I hear the blues are calling, toss salad and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish.
What about tossing salads?
Yep.
Well, maybe I seem a bit confused. Well, maybe. Well, I've got you pegged.
And Portland Timbers, for fans of actually getting a lot better at something and being mad you're not getting credit for your growth, trying to shake off a nickname you don't like, that era of sports where everyone had a big three, horses of a darker shade than other horses, mononyms, and being scared to leave home.
Being scared to leave home.
And New York Red Bulls, who have now advanced, was for fans of saying 99% of the battle is just showing up.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, this is an overall pretty well funny written article.
Share it in the chat.
Okay, I shall.
I'll put it on the show notes. Also in the show notes, join our Discord.
Mm-hmm.
That's as Cameron mentioned. We'll have there's some scuttlebutt, but it's very sounder related. Is that what you said? You took a peek at it? Should we say?
Yeah, okay. They're all Sounders LAFC questions for the most part.
Well, that's where we like to get our scuttlebutt for this portion of the show. And also, you'll see a link in the show description for our supporter section on Patreon to help support the show. And I have to say, I woke up with a tear in my eye. We have a new member. Thank you, Cedar.
Yeah.
You are like a kit sponsor to this show. We will mention you every single episode as a thank you. I appreciate that. Got our first flag, our first banner in the supporter section.
What's up, in there. Cedar? Now, before we go, though, I do want to mention the, oh gosh, what's his name now? The Cincinnati player who passed away. The Cincinnati FC player who passed away. He was playing down in his home country. They had loaned him back down. Marco Angulo died. He was in a coma. I think we talked about the car accident when it happened on the show, but he passed away on, I think it was Tuesday. He was a passenger. He was a passenger in a car with one of his youth teammates and another teammate. And the car hit. It was a one car crash, hit the railing, and the other two died instantly. And then he was in a coma for a week or two and passed away. So sad for the FC Cincinnati family. You never like to see that young player. You know, I think he was 22. Not fun.
Yeah. There's not really a segue from that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how to move on.
Man, USA beat Jamaica. Woo. Okay.
There we go. Thank you. all right, let's move to the second portion of the show, and we will use that scuttlebutt to kick it off. All right?
Yeah. Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right, we would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounder Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
All right, and we're back. Let's talk some Sounders. I have it pulled up here from our mailbag. Let's kick this portion of the show off. This is Alex Diaz. What approach would you like to see the Sounders use against LAFC in this matchup that will help us win the game and finally get over the hump? This is the first question that he has.
I think read the second one too, because I think it's relevant to
okay. discussion. Do you think the Sounders will play possession based per usual and try to stop LAFC's counterattack, or play counterattacking and let LAFC play with possession? So vice versa.
I think they're going to do, we know what they think they need to do to win, because the last two games, they figured that out. They just didn't the home game,
the US Open Cup game.
The one before that, they didn't execute. Alex made mistakes. Christian made mistakes, and we got down early when we knew we had to not get down early. We had to get up early.
So what style was that?
What
style of play was that?
Our normal style, where we had possession. Yeah, the difference is,
don't allow goals.
Don't let Nuhu go forward. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Stay back, defenders.
Keeping an eye on Bwanga. I think
what's going to be interesting is I think the game plan for the Open Cup was really good, but the challenge is, does that translate to a bigger pitch? You know, because Starfire versus Bank of America Stadium is going to be a different size pitch there. But to your point, you mentioned, yes, obviously want to stop LAFC from scoring early, but I don't know if it's as important for us to get that early goal. I don't see us pushing too hard. I think it plays to our favor to keep it as low scoring as possible, keep it as tight as possible, 0-0 second half, and wear them down. Let them feel the frustration from their fans as the game goes on, 0-0, and let their fans drain some of that energy out. But I would love to be proven wrong, and let's get an early goal and not have to screw around with that. That'd be great. Yeah.
I feel like they will play their normal style. I agree with both of you. And I feel like the way this system is designed is we should be getting two goals a match. This is like a two goal team. And I feel like we just don't. I mean, I don't feel like I know. We complain about is we don't convert our opportunities that should be, you know, a goal if we had, yeah, you know, a consistent, yeah, number nine. But I think we should be getting a goal per half. Like the way we shouldn't have as many ebbs and flows as we have, and, you know, brain farts in the offensive third. So
who do you think is our starting lineup for that? Which is also a question that Alex asked there. I think it's our regular starting lineup. But you have some interesting choices.
Yeah.
Because where you put in Roldan, who you're starting at DP. I think those are the questions for me.
You mean who you're starting at number nine?
Oh, I mean, I said DP. I meant CDM.
CDM? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're starting Jordan at number nine. He's back. He's healthy.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
I think the question is, because if your midfield is Rusnak in the middle, obviously, you've got Rothrock on the left. I've got to feel like you're playing De La Vega on the right, but then you got to choose two out of three of our center defensive mids. We have Jao Paulo, Christian, and Obed, and I think definitely Christian is there, so it comes down.
I think Jao Paulo's out.
Yeah, I think probably
because Jao Paulo. You need a little bit more speed with the younger kid.
I don't. We'll see how Obed is coming. I mean, I guess it's another full week, right? But coming back from youth duty for Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's hope that doesn't screw anything up for us.
Can we look up real quick? You guys are probably faster than me. What their match situation is, Mexico.
That's tougher because they're youth teams. So sometimes that's harder to find.
But just like when
was Obed called up to the under 20? Which,
yes. Yeah, he was called to the under 20 or under 19, one of the unders. He's one of those youth teams.
Well, I know he's one of the youth teams.
Well, either way, I would want him to start with
I would assume he would start for them, you know, because he's
good.
Then, yeah, I mean, U20s have no game scheduled, so it may be U19. I mean, there's too many youth teams, I think.
There's a U for every year, right?
No, I think once it's like U19, then U17, and then goes down from there. But let's see. What is the date today? It's 17th. So
yeah.
Oh, this is like the U thing. I don't know. They're not good at publishing that. The U.S., you can find all that information.
But... Well, let's assume he's fine then, right?
Oh, he's back. No, that was last time.
Well, either way, yeah. Assume he's fine. I think he should start. And yeah, I mean, it's typical lineup. And I think our new who not, although he did, new who did have that assist.
Under 20s. So yeah.
He could argue with you.
He got called up to the U23s at one.
They played against Venezuela on the 13th, and they played yesterday against Japan.
Jeez, Fox Sports doesn't have it updated. Did he play?
Not sure. I just know. So yeah, check U20s, Mexico, Japan yesterday.
Japan won 3-0 in that match. YouTube has a recap available. And looking at the lineup for Mexico, he did not start, and he was not in the 18.
Good.
All right.
So he didn't play. So sounds like it'd be pretty good.
In this case, like, don't mess around with that. Like, don't pick up an injury right before. Baker Whiting played with the, or Baker Whiting got called up to the U20s for US and knew who got called up to Cameroon.
Looks like that might have been an old score. I don't know why they're not just available. That was the U20 World Cup in 2023.
Oh, weird.
Huh.
Who's looking that up?
It's very strange.
Oh, man. It might rain on Sunday in Los Angeles.
Oh, that would be beneficial to us. That's a very Seattle kind of...
looks like maybe in the morning. A few showers in the evening, then fog developing overnight. Oh, come on. Come on.
Take what they want to give us.
Yeah, get it all rainy. They won't know what to do down there, and their hair getting knocked out of place.
You guys remember the SNL skit with Phil Hartman, Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your city and your honking horns frighten and scare me. This rain terrifies me. Yeah. Shoot. Let's move on then.
Yeah.
He said we just kind of – so we just all agree that it should be our standard lineup with Obed, though, with Christian?
I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
Then I think we should definitely see a Georgie sub at least, 15 minutes at the end of the match.
Oh. I was like, in the 15-minute mark? What?
No, but I wanted him to at least have 15 minutes, if not 30.
I think it's all – I mean, if we're
game winning, state, yeah, it's going to be game state.
And I
don't know. He's like, even if we're trying to hold a lead, like he is an attention finder.
You could argue that the youthfulness didn't help in the end of that Houston match that when their goal scored and we didn't take it to the corner. But, I think I've changed my mind. What I would like to see is Christian play at right back and João Paulo and Obed at center defensive mid, because I think that puts our strongest lineup out there. Do I think Schmetzer will do that? No. But I think that by far is a much stronger lineup.
I like that because Christian's on Buonga then. Buonga's on the left, right?
Yeah.
Left, correct.
That's interesting.
I like that. They're just like, hey, shut him down. If they're going to beat us, they're going to score. It's going to be from somewhere else.
I think that's interesting. I also agree with your second half of that, which is I don't see it happening.
Yeah. No.
He hasn't. When was the last time he played right back? It's got to be.
When Alex was hurt.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
a month or two ago. It just hasn't been a consistent position for him, but he could do it.
It's almost like, okay, we're getting too cute on that one. Like don't overthink it. Do what we're good at.
To me, that is not overthinking it and doing what we're good at. We're putting our best players out there on the field. But also, I think,
I don't know. You want the best players in their best positions as well. So it's kind of a twofold.
Of anyone on the field, I probably would trust him one-on-one defending in the midfield against
Buonga. He's
Buonga than
he's
anyone
had some
on
rough
team.
Games down the stretch here, though. I don't know if that's because he's being asked to do different things or what.
And that's where I'm kind of on the side of don't get too cute. Just focus on what we do well, and we are a very good defensive team. So I'd rather see Alex as our right back. Now, if we go up in the late stage of the game, then yeah, maybe you drop Christian back down and you put on another defender. You put on João Paulo, and you kind of move people back a line and maybe go five in the back. So yeah, we could do something like that. But I just don't see it. I don't see Alex being benched.
I think I know the answer to this question, but the this round we definitely have extra time. Correct. This is standard.
Yeah,
we're not going. It's not okay.
It's not, yes,
unless it's weird. I will never trust it. So I'm
just no. From now on out, it's normal. One game. If the game is tied at the end of the game, it goes to 15 minutes of extra time and then penalties.
This feels like a penalties game.
Hope not, but whatever does the job. As I told Andrew Thomas, we're hoping that they save a sub so they can sub you on to do the penalty kicks.
Did he agree?
No comment.
No,
he's probably like, no, I don't want to sub on. I want to be on.
Wait. No, it was really interesting. His point that he made was there's a reason only a handful of teams try that tactic because, you know, it can absolutely backfire. Because if you sub someone on to do that, you are basically saying, we expect you to get this win for us.
Yeah. But at the same time, he said what anyone would say. If asked, I will step up and do my job.
100%.
Like you would say to any press person.
Yeah. All right. Getting some Kirkland Signature Hard Seltzer Black Cherry.
When did Kirkland Signature move to Jersey?
I don't know. I just like saying, I feel like seltzer. I always say it with a... I don't know. Whatever.
Fran Dresser would be happy.
We do have Scuttlebutt from Tama Hamilton as well, who asks if Sounders win the whole dang thing, do they still try to make a move at number 9? Or is this JMO experiment going to take? This is the 9th season. I don't know what... I understand what he's saying, but I don't understand what he said because it's a sentence fragment. Basically, are we going to get another number 9, or is JMO going to be our 9 moving forward?
If we win that MLS Cup, yeah.
I don't think it matters. I think, honestly, it comes down to who's the best player available. We have a interesting situation where, because of JMO's abilities, we can get a number 9 or someone on the wings.
Number 9.
You're not wrong. But we have that ability to get the better player without feeling like, oh, well, if we do that, then we're redundant with Jordan Morris. Because, no, he can play those other positions. So I think it's going to come down to who's the best player we can sign. I think that's going to be the driving factor.
I think so, too. And I was talking to Dwayne Nakamura, the Alliance Council vice president, about it, and he made a really good point. I was like, how do you replace Rothrock at this point? It's like, well, if you get a better player, you replace Rothrock. I mean, if that's what happens, because Rothrock's fun and great, but if you have a chance to bring in a DP who's going to do what Leo Chu did in that one game where he had 4 assists every game, do it.
Well, that was basically what I was just gonna say about JMO. Is like, he's capable and above average, and on some nights, you know, the best player on the field. But we're already targeting players for an attacking position, preferably for a number 9. And there's no plan in place by the front office, by Craig Weibel, that's just going to be thrown out the window if we win MLS Cup. We have a plan for 2025, and that. Whether we win this cup or not does not change what our plans are for 2020.
I mean, if Jordan scores a hat trick in the next 3 games, maybe in each of them, maybe that changes things, right?
Maybe yes.
We could very easily win the MLS Cup by not scoring another goal and win it on penalty kicks,
which is more probable because it's been done before.
By us.
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, I'd love to find out, you know, let's put that to the test.
Tim, let's find this out for us. Did my face freeze again, gentlemen?
Yeah, you froze again. It's always at the same time, like 2-3 quarters of the way.
That's so weird. Oh, well, it's black on my screen, so I'll just keep talking.
It's all good.
You can hear me. This is kind of a chill layback episode anyways.
Yeah. Well, and what we just said just kind of answered Alex Diaz's in Discord's like last mailbag question, which was like he's listening to Brad and Steve's podcast and they're talking about J-Mo developing into that number 9, and we were just basically saying, well, like sure, but if we're going to sign somebody, or at least we should. Would you guys be upset if we don't sign someone this offseason?
Yes.
Yeah.
It depends on what you mean by someone. I'm fine if we're signing a like quadruple A, like could start for other teams, but is behind Jordan at the number 9, as long as we sign a DP at another position.
Are you saying like a Musovski type of player?
Like who Musovski should be, yeah. I mean, Musovski obviously hasn't played that whole season.
You did catch that he's injured, right? You did catch that they don't expect him to be able to play the rest of the season.
Oh, I did not know that. That's too bad. He's such a good dude. But, you know, he hasn't contributed the way I know he's even hoped. You know, talking to him, he wants to be out there and scoring goals. And we saw early on he can do it. He still has, I think, 1 or 2 years left on his contract, though. So unless he's retiring, he will be back.
Yeah.
But
and honestly, at this point, we do have one thing that plays into our advantage for anyone that we're trying to convince to either come or to stay, is this Club World Cup is one hell of a carrot. And we're going to find out in just a few weeks who we play.
It's true.
December 5th. I forgot that y'all couldn't see me and my camera was because Nick said something that I reacted to. No, you're right. We'll find out. And I don't think anyone's playing for a contract next year, but I think it could influence how the team sees them moving forward if something drastic happens.
I see. Yeah.
I mean, Rusnak, I think, has earned that contract. And then you just need to figure out what's going on with the other people out of contract. We know they haven't talked to Jao Paulo about a contract. They haven't even talked to his agent.
I have a feeling we're not seeing him.
Yeah. I mean, if he's willing to come back at less money, I think they would think about it. But we have so much youth at that position that they may be ready to move on. I thought, you know, we were probably ready to move on, but then he's been pretty good since he came back into the lineup.
Yeah. I just don't think for the money. I don't think.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Love him.
No, he's
JP.
He's one of those. I mean, he was an MVP finalist, wasn't he? Like he almost won the MVP as a center defensive mid.
And which never happens.
Yeah, he's in a long
line. Just being a finalist is a big deal.
Yeah, he's in a long line of Ozzy and Goose and him. Like three of the most amazing center defensive mids in league history that we've been so lucky to have.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have had a Kyle Beckerman.
Well, hey, the man, I'm not going to give any crap to Kyle Beckerman. He did it for so long, so good.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give him crap for his dreads, man.
Yes, of course. But back to Goose, I think a lot of people, so underrated outside of Seattle. I mean, this is a guy who captained Sweden in a World Cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, people forget just how
good
he was. Yeah.
Not lucky to be there.
I mean, Jao Paulo is his contract for this year was $1.4 million. So he's clearly a TAM player. He's been paid down from DP, or is DP 1.5 now. Either way, he's at that, he's a TAM player. So if he's gone, that frees up a lot of money, depending on how you want to pay it. He's making not quite double, but almost double what Pedro de la Vega made. And then Danny has one more year left. I thought it was two. It was only 1 year. But then here's the thing is we have Atencio. We have Leyva. We have Obed, at least for the time being. We have a wealth at center defensive mid.
And Atencio, it's so fascinating because he's just getting injured at the wrong times, where it's like we're ready for him to, you know, to step up and be that great part of our future. And the injury comes in and you're just like, well, son of a bitch.
I might be making this up, but I feel like when I have seen him play recently, it's seemed very forceful. Like he's trying really hard to make the opportunity count because he's had so many limited minutes.
I think what happened was Obed passed him and that was unexpected. And he's just been able to get those minutes back. And he thought he was going to because they gave him the number 8. And he hasn't been able to live up to that jersey yet, but you know he's going to try. And he's under contract for 3 more years. So
and let's not forget, let's not forget, the expectation is we're not gonna keep Obed for much longer.
No.
It's kinda clear that.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I think he's probably starting as well. I think this might be the last couple games we see Obed.
I don't think he's broken out the way they thought he would. I think you bring him back next year and maybe sell him over the summer, because I can't imagine someone paying his value right now.
What if he just goes off?
No, you're going to showcase him for Club World Cup.
Yeah.
Because that'll raise his money. Yeah. That'll raise his dollar amount.
And his contract is through the end of next year right now. And he's only making $89,000. I mean, he's the lowest is $71,000.
Like you were saying about the World Cup, but or the Club World Cup, but he could catch a good transfer fee.
Could, yeah, but I feel like we played that game once with expecting that to happen for Nuhu with the AFCON. So I don't know.
We'll see. And no one made the offers, even though his agent kept talking about it.
Yeah,
I mean, so we're gonna have a lot of money freed up basically, so we could do almost anything. I mean, you're dropping this real quick, $2 million off from Raul. 1.4 off potentially from Jao Paulo. Leo Chu only hits the cap at 150. And so we'll find out if they're going to bring him back for one more year. But he gets paid 550. Same with Nathan is making 550. And, you know, he's a lovely gentleman who waved at us in Vancouver, but hasn't been healthy enough to play. And so you're seeing, I mean, literally millions free up to potentially be able to sign players.
I don't think Nathan goes, by the way. I think he stays.
I would be fine with that. I mean, we saw when he's been able to get on the field that he's been solid enough that he should be the main backup in my mind.
Plus, I think the depth at CB right now is
right. Bell. I mean, you figure either him or Bell is going to go, would be my guess.
I'd be fine with them both staying. I like them both.
Yeah, and John makes $100,000 a year, so he's a much cheaper player than Nathan.
And he can play different positions. Yep. He's been, yeah.
He's first.
Reed is out of contract, though, so that'll be an interesting. Jacob Castro, who's our third goalie, is out of contract. Rodelio Rodriguez is out of contract. And we've never seen him.
Jacob Castro is.
He's our third goalkeeper.
Yeah,
And Rothrock and Tevez are out of contract, and Sota. So a lot of our youth players are out of contract.
Didn't we extend Rothrock a few weeks ago?
Yeah, we might have did that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was a thing.
Yeah. Pretty sure we locked that down.
That sounds right.
Which is good, because I'm sure it was reasonable, because he's happy to have a contract.
You're not.
So what is your confidence level going into this match?
Oof.
Nick.
Oof.
I mean, honestly, I think that this actually plays into the Sounders' hands more than it plays into LAFC's hands. I think it's increasingly difficult for a team to beat the same team over and over again. It's not a gambler's fallacy type of thing. It's just more you know, it's just increasingly difficult. I think it'd be less of a shock win than when we beat them in 2019 to go to the MLS Cup finals.
Is that a shock win? I don't know. For that one, I expected us to win.
that LAFC game against against one of the top teams in MLS history, that 2019 LAFC.
I mean, we were that good though.
They were an offensive juggernaut. That was a bit of a,
I mean, we were not the favorites.
No, that was a bit of a, I think this wouldn't be as big of a surprise of a win. I don't.
Is that because of how good our defense is? I mean,
I think it's a combination of that LAFC team was that good. LAFC,
I mean, they only lost four games in that season, but we were the number two seed. I feel like they beat us, what, five times this year? For me, it would be a shock if we won this game. I want us to, but we have to prove it. We haven't proven that we can do it. I think we can.
No, I get it. I'm just saying that for me, I think it'd be more of a shock to 2019 one. Are we underdogs? Absolutely. Do I think we have a better chance of winning than people are giving us credit for? Absolutely. I think both things are true. What about you, Cameron?
You know, I got to see it, right? Notoriously, we don't show up in big games under Brian Schmetzer. And I would, those are usually MLS Cup type games. We've played in the MLS Cup final. We've played one good half. I think the CONCACAF Champions League was the first time we showed up wholly.
That was a good solid game.
Cause, we played one good half in four MLS Cups. Yeah. So, I'm always worried in big games like this that we're not going to show up. And, right now, looking at the odds, the LAFC is favored, for sure. But, they've also beaten us 12 times to 5 with 4 draws. So of course, 5 of those were this year. So, I'm not feeling good about it. I think if we win on penalties. Or it's a fluke goal like the end of the Houston match where we just grab a late lead.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The last time they beat us, I would consider that a fluke goal. That was a BS call. So, I mean, that's soccer.
Yeah.
That's soccer.
And we didn't get the penalty in the box earlier in the match when we should have, when they crushed Christian.
These teams are closer together than people give credit for. They just look at the 11 straight and they just hang on to that and look at it as doom. It's not 11 straight losses. It's 11 straight without a win.
Yeah.
You know, there's a huge difference between those two statements.
Now, there is the deal that we don't allow a lot of goals this season. And when we lost to them, we were not good. We were playing pretty poorly. So we're not the same team. And I think there's a newfound confidence. And one of the reasons I think they've felt so close now as a team, and, you know, every player is being asked about it, and they say, yeah, this is the closest team they've ever had, is that they went through some tough times and came through them on the other side. So if they can keep just scrapping and finding a way to win, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm worried. I no longer, LAFC is so good. It's like, I don't go to Mariners versus Yankees games because I don't want to deal with Yankees fans and just watching them get their butts kicked. It's the same. I feel the same way about this game right now. It's either going to be a close game that we eke out or we're going to get blown out.
Can I share with you our starting lineup the last time we played LAFC in the Open Cup?
Yeah.
We had Andrew Thomas in goal, but then our back four were what you expected, Alex, Yamar, Jackson, and Nuhu. We had Obed and João Paulo with Christian, Albert, and Rothrock with Morris up top. So basically the difference was
De La Vega
came on off the bench.
So yep. That's JP on the bench.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say one thing, tracking back for a second. The contract stuff I was looking at did not list the club options.
Okay.
So we have a 1-year option on Leo Chu, which would keep him under that U22 contract for 1 more if you want. We have a 1-year club option for Yamar. We have a 1-year club option for Nathan. Rothrock signed the contract. Tevez, Bell, and then we have 2 years left club options on Radilio, Sota, and Jacob Castro. So all the only ones that are right now don't have contracts and could walk freely if we don't do something are Ja Paulo, Raul, and Albert Rusnak.
Well, I certainly hope they sign Rusnak.
Yeah. I don't know how they don't.
Well, my confidence level, gentlemen, and Cameron, you basically took the words out of my mouth, was that we are a different team. And so I think if we, this season is right, the way the season is going, I can totally see in hindsight how we'll see this team that got calloused, figured their shit out, went through some tough times. And we almost thought, like, we brought up the Ziggy line, you know, about Schmetzer, you know, we legitimately were talking about him not having a job potentially if things were continuing the way we saw at the very beginning of the season. I'm glad we were wrong. I'm glad we're at where we're at. And I'm glad we're performing the way we're performing. It just, what I'm not confident in is the fact that we're not converting our opportunities at a higher rate.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that needs to be fixed. And then I would be definitely confident we're going to win this match. But I said earlier, this is going to penalties. We don't let people score. I think we figure our shit out. And there might be a if this is the closest they've ever felt, having a game against LAFC on the road is probably the best situation for everything going correctly.
Yeah.
You're right. If this team is as close as they say they are, then this is probably the toughest place they can play right now in the playoffs, is at the place where beer gets thrown everywhere. So,
yeah. Speaking of, we didn't talk
about Alex ready and go.
Did you see what happened to the head coach of Mexico in Honduras?
No, oh, that's so horrible. Full, you never want to see that.
Full can of beer hit him in the head, thrown from the stands, and just like bleeding down the side of his face on the field. Yeah, you never want to see it. I did find a lot of fans of the Mexican national team hypocritical, though, when they were saying how awful it was when their fans throw bottles and cans and everything at opposing players constantly, including even when the game was in Denver, they did that at the USA players when they scored in the, I think it was last Nations League when we beat them.
Yeah.
Don't throw stuff on the field, guys. It's not worth it.
Don't do it. I love that that new who kick was awesome.
Hey, question for you. Do you see any interesting parallels that 2016, you know, election, Trump gets elected, Sounders go from a really, really rough start, make the playoffs, go on a run. Now 2024, Trump's elected.
The only thing that is glaring to me is the fact that Schmetzer and Nico arrived in the middle of that season to shake things up, and a firing of a Hall of Fame coach.
Or maybe
Paul Rothrock is the second coming at Nico Lodero.
Yeah, maybe the Sounders will just win the MLS Cup every 4 years as we have Trump indefinitely moving forward.
God, that might sway my vote.
No. I was trying to give us some optimism, my friend.
Here, I'm not, you know,
silver lining.
Tim asked if now that Miami's out, we're playing with house money. I don't think that's how house money works. I think house money has to do with, have you overshot your own expectations? And I think at this point, based on where we were earlier this season, we're playing with house money. Like, do I want us to win the MLS Cup? Of course. But this season turned out to be a success and they turned it around no matter what. If it ends at LAFC, which I can tell you that most people that I know that I've been talking to around the podcasting community do not think LAFC is going to win. They think this is Seattle's time. That, you know, it's hard to beat teams that many times. And our defense is just that good. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I need to see it to believe it. You know, we just experienced that earlier today with a different Seattle football team.
Indeed. Seahawks won. I watched it.
I know, that's why I talked about it. If you hadn't told me you were going to watch it with your mom was putting together something, I wouldn't have talked about it because I would have assumed you didn't watch it, but I knew you did.
I'm just impressed that you guys haven't made any mention of F1 today.
They haven't been racing. Yeah, Las Vegas next weekend.
Yeah, it's coming up to Vegas next weekend, right?
Yeah.
I thought, weren't you talking about eventually making your way out there?
Yeah, if we had more Patreon supporters.
Yeah. Look, well, join our Patreon so that we can go to the F1
weekend. At a club, year. Baby.
Yeah. We also want to be able to go
A show.
We want to go to the Portland IndyCar as well.
Yeah, that's a that's a full tank of gas, so that's reasonable.
Yeah.
We'll do a show. That'd be fun as hell. Anyway. Well, we may do another show this week. I have no qualms against that. I know we said that last week, and we didn't do it. But I think as we get a little bit closer, it might be exciting to do a little bit more of a condensed kind of full preview.
Even if we get like a mailbag style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we could do oops all mailbag.
Oops. Jesus. Fucking. All right. Let's pull this into port. Let's pull this into port. Hey, go on your podcast platform, your application, pull over, and if you're driving, give us a 5-star. And do all of them do that, or is it just Apple?
Apple, and there's a few others.
Apple.
So wherever you can rate us. I mean, the thing is, if you rate us with a good rating, you can say whatever you want. Just give us the 5 stars. And it helps us get higher up in the algorithm and keeps us in our status as the third most popular Sounders podcast in the world.
In the world.
The world.
Yeah, in the world.
In the world. All right, where can they find you on the internet, Nicholas?
Come find me on Instagram at CascadesToC or on Twitter at Nikita Banana. I'm still not going to say X. I don't get it. What about you, Cameron?
Oh, you can find me at Legal Minded Punk on all of the socials. Everyone's jumping off of X and going to Blue Sky. I do have an account there. You can follow me there, but I don't post. There's too many. I have lost about 80 followers on X Twitter because they're all accounts that have deactivated. People are leaving. I don't understand what. Here, you can stop using Twitter. Just delete the app. Leave your account open so that I still have my followers. Is it that hard?
Think of the people. Think of people like Cameron.
Yeah. Poor Cameron.
You're hurting my feelings.
Although you went viral.
I did. That's true. My tweet.
We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, we should talk about that real quick. My tweet.
Yeah, we should.
Where I said
immediately after Miami was knocked out,
when Brad Guzan punched every ball out of the stratosphere.
Yeah, immediately after, and for about 3 or 4 days after that, I'd wake up every morning to hundreds and hundreds of more likes. But I basically said that following the game or breaking MLS Cup playoff news, Don Garber just announced after the game that MLS Cup winner will play the Shield winner in Miami the week after MLS Cup be crowned MLS champions. If Miami loses that one, they will make it a best of three series.
And the best part is you wrote it in such a dry manner.
Yeah.
That
people believed it.
People believed
it. That's why I had to put the last line in there about the best of three series.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, everyone would have believed it instead of being, most people were in on the joke. So it ended up getting over 1,600 likes.
And the fun part was that it was what I really respect about that tweet is it was well crafted. Without punching down, and it didn't make people who didn't get the joke look completely stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just really well taken. Where I didn't see a whole bunch of people going like, "Oh, you're an idiot. This is fake." Or you know, just people took it for the humor it was, which I think does speak to the intelligence of the American soccer community.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's better than people give it credit for.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing about it was that I wasn't punching down on Miami. I was punching up at Don Garber. You know what I mean? I was punching up on the things that the MLS does.
And it's funny, you were probably sitting on the toilet while you...
I wasn't. I was sitting on the couch watching the games. But,
but most of us are sitting on the toilet when we're...
Yeah, I'm sure that's where most of those retweets are coming from.
Picture it, and stop.
And that's why we're Scuttlebutt. And you can find me on Twitter X at @AARONLINGLEY, Aaron Lingley. I think that's it. Should James take this away?
Yeah.
Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sound of Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.